We now bring to these microphones David James of David James Reports. That's available on our website, prophecytoday.com. If you'll go to the homepage on the right-hand side of the homepage, that column, just if you will scroll down, you'll see the icon introducing you to David James Reports. Some archived reports from the past and some of the papers that David has written on special issues that we in the body of Christ need to discuss, and we have another one today. David, let's talk about this month of Ramadan. You've done some research on this, the Quran and the Bible and eschatology and all of that. Let's bring it to the table. As we're watching everything, and we've been talking about it on the broadcast happening across the Middle East right now, we're also right in the middle of the most important month on the Islamic calendar, Ramadan. Talk to us about it, and what are some of its purposes and the requirements?
You're right. Ramadan this year is from June 28th to July 27th, and it's the most sacred month in Islam because they say that's when the Quran began to be revealed to Muhammad. It's a month of spiritual purification and worship, and the purpose is to achieve forgiveness of sin from Allah. And it includes fasting, and that means fasting from food, even drinking water, smoking, and sexual relations, and that's from dawn to sunset every day during the month. It's also supposed to be a month of additional prayer and reading the Quran, benevolence and justice, and even avoiding sinful behavior and sinful speech.
What about the fact that, and I've heard, now I have not gone into the Quran, I don't know all the details that the requirements applied to Ramadan would be, but I've heard that it's supposed to be a non-violent month. How does this square with the call by the leader, for example, of ISIS for jihad and a worldwide caliphate, and he's doing this during the time of Ramadan?
If you think about the idea that it's supposed to be nonviolent, the peace and kindness during Ramadan is most specifically toward faithful Muslims. So the most openly radical Muslims don't see a contradiction when going after non-Muslims who are considered infidels. Now, the problem with ISIS is that they're also killing other Muslims, but in order to do that, all they have to do is consider those other Muslims to also be infidels, and then all bets are off. And because ISIS is Sunni, and the government of Iraq is Shia, as well as half the population, and 90% of the population of Iran is Shia, then this creates a really serious situation. And in fact, this man who now calls himself Caliph Ibrahim, he said last week that Allah likes us to kill his enemies and make jihad.
Well, indeed, it sounds like they are taking the Quran and making it say what they want it to say. I know that, and I've talked about this before, the doctrine of abrogation that the Islamic world has, they've used that doctrine on the Bible. In other words, they say, well, some parts of the Holy Bible are correct, others are not, and this is what we believe they mean. And they've used that whole doctrine of abrogating whatever the text may say. It looks like they're doing the same thing with the Quran. It's their holy book, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. And it's more than just picking and choosing. I think it's actually dishonest in order to hide what Islam really teaches. So the concept of abrogation, like you said, it means that later revelation abrogates or cancels out previous revelation, and the Quran was supposedly revealed over a period of 23 years. The problem is the verses are all mixed up chronologically. So you can have a verse that appears earlier in the Quran actually abrogate a later verse in the scriptures. And so those who want to make Islam sound like it's softer and gentler and more peaceful, they can quote verses that are supposedly from an earlier time, and then the radicals can quote the harsher verses, and so this is what creates this problem. And they also rely on Muhammad's life and teachings, and so it's similar to tradition in Roman Catholicism, so it doesn't even have to be explicitly stated in the Quran.
Well, and that would be the Hadith, which is the record of what Muhammad had to say in some of his actions. But this is not going to give them an absolute upon which they can then put this caliphate into existence, is it? I mean, it seems like if you can pick and choose in the Quran, which is supposed to be the last word, the holy word, that from Gabriel, the archangel, how are they going to make a decision how this is going to be the absolute way to move forward? For example, when Baghdadi, the one who is calling himself the caliph, how's he going to be able to rule over the Islamic world if everybody can pick and choose?
Well, at this point, it looks like might makes right. And so now that they're taking over American military equipment, as well as that of Iraq and in some cases of Syria, then as ISIS or now just the Islamic State, IS, is expanding, they're going to be able to make some significant headway. I mean, they're close to taking over Baghdad as well. And with him possibly going to announce himself as the Mahdi, then this is really setting up for the end times, as even the Muslims believe is going to happen in the Quran.
Well, I do know that Islam has its own eschatology. You mentioned the word Mahdi. That's Arabic for Messiah. As I understand, the Shiites there in Iran, they say the 12th Imam is going to come back to life. He will be that Mahdi. He'll have Jesus join him. They'll come together. Jesus will go out and help convert the world to Islam. He'll kill all the pigs, and then he'll break all the crosses as well and go into Jerusalem, setting up a caliphate. Now, we talked about that and laid out that plan to go into Jerusalem. One of the things that the leader of this new declared caliphate, Baghdadi, he is saying that he's not going to join with those Hamas people in the Gaza Strip fighting the State of Israel because it's not time, according to his understanding of the Quran and the activities to unfold, it's not time to go to Jerusalem. That probably helps us to understand that problem. When you abrogate some portions of the Quran and accept others, you're going to have a problem.
That's right. Some have said that one-third of the Quran deals with eschatology in some way, but as you said, with the abrogation, you can have verses, for example, there are passages that talk about having freedom of religion, but then there are other verses, like you said, that are talk about destroying the apes and pigs and those who have descended from them, who would be the Jews. And also, it talks about when Jesus returns, his second coming in connection with the appearance of the Mahdi, then he's also going to destroy the crosses, which is obviously talking about an intent to destroy Christianity as well. But the Mahdi is going to appear at a time when there's worldwide chaos, and according to the Quran, and then he is going to take advantage of that situation, the chaos, to bring peace to the world, and like you said, establish a caliphate around the world.
Let's go back to Ramadan just for a moment. Talk to me about how the Quran was given to Muhammad. I understand he claims that Gabriel, the archangel, is the one who revealed the Quran to him. How does that fit in and compare, for example, as to how we Christians got the Bible?
The Quran is said by most Muslims to pre-exist, and some even say it was eternal in Arabic, so God had it from the very beginning. And then beginning in 610 A.D., it began to be revealed to Muhammad by Gabriel, the archangel, and this was over a period of 23 years. Sometimes it was only a verse or two at a time, and then the verses were actually put together later, and as I mentioned earlier, often out of chronological order. Some have said that there are as many as 260 verses that have been abrogated. Now, in contrast to the Bible being the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit worked through 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. The Bible is three times longer, and there are no contradictions. Another thing about the Quran, it is broadly accepted in Islam that Muhammad himself was illiterate. He couldn't read or write. And so they say that he miraculously wrote it down, or others say he memorized it and dictated it to others. Well, obviously there are huge problems with that theory all by itself.
Yeah, this whole situation of some type of divine presentation to Muhammad of the Holy Quran does not come together. And of course, we've got the years, thousands of years of understanding how God's Word came together, looking at it, checking it out, making sure internally that it is authenticated. Externally, it's worked in the hearts and lives of many, many people, so we can have total trust in what God's Word has to say. Well, one final thought with you, David, if you will. As we've been talking, I've been thinking about the eschatology found in God's Word. And it talks about in the Ezekiel 38 passage of the Bible, also Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, of how an alignment of nations are going to come together to try to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. In fact, in Psalm 83 and verse 4, it says they come out of a council meeting, and that's exactly what they say. Let us remove Israel from the face of the earth, that her name be remembered no more. Saying that, it sounds like what they're talking about with the Quran, the establishment of this caliphate, they have a very similar eschatology, but theirs is not real, ours is absolute.
Yes, that's right. I was actually thinking about those passages as well, the ones that you mentioned. I'd mentioned that the appearance of the Mahdi, according to them, and the return of Christ will be in the midst of chaos. Well, the Ezekiel 38 war and Psalm 83 war, and as you said, Daniel 11, that would create exactly the kind of chaos that you would expect. And then from a biblical perspective, seeing the Antichrist likely rising out of that kind of chaos in the aftermath to establish peace with Israel and the surrounding countries. So as you say many times, it seems to be setting the stage, the players are in place, and the curtain's about to go up. And I've heard you say that many times, and it seems that we don't know the Lord's timetable, but the possibility is absolutely there and seemingly getting closer all the time.
Wow, that is absolutely correct. And listen, my dear friend, you can use that phrase, setting the stage, anytime. I stole it from Dr. John Walvoord, former chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary. He's in the heavens now, so it's open for all of us. But it does look exactly like that with everything that's happening in our world. Even going along with what the Quran has to say about eschatology, it seemingly is fitting into biblical, true biblical eschatology as well. David, thanks for the research on this. You know, we need to understand, we hear and read about Ramadan taking place, and the body of Christ, those eavesdropping on this conversation, need to know more about what it is all about. So I do appreciate your research on that. Thanks, David. We'll talk again next week.
So good to be with you again. Glad to do it.